Extra Points is presented for the people by Caesars Sportsbook. You bet, you get with Caesars Rewards. You must be 21 or older.
Welcome to Extra Points. Now here's your host, Cousin Sal, and his good, good pals, Dave Damaschek and Martin Weiss.
All right, welcome to the Extra Points podcast, part of the Extra Points podcast network. Cousin Sal coming to you on a Thursday morning. Yeah, spaghetti and meatballs are here, fiddling with the knobs as always. Babyface Joel Solomon is producing this mess, and joining me as always, my dear, dear pals, Dave Damaschek, Martin Weiss. I got to say, I get excited. Thursday is when I get excited in the week, right? Obviously, we have a game. Everything's turning. Like, everything's a mad scramble to get all this football talk in. And now there's baseball, Sheck. And, well, we'll get to all of it. But the Padres, Mets, this is the one I feared. I didn't want to play a week early. I didn't want to play the Padres. I know this is your pick to win it all. Yep.
Well, I really did when I made that pick. I really thought, like, okay, the Braves are making their back half push here, but the Metropolitans will hold them off. I'm a little scared for you. I don't love the matchup for you. If you can, and I also don't love the fact that you have your one and two superstars having to be burnt now. But like we talked about, the ray of sunshine is maybe the teams that have their feet up right now are going to get a little stale. This is a weird rhythm to 162 games. Now, hey, take off 3 or 4 days, guys. Maybe they'll cool off.
I don't know. The Dodgers seem to be playing late into October every year and after 115 wins or whatever. What was it? Like 257.
What can I do? But try. That's all I'm offering. Yeah.
I appreciate. Hey, listen, Martin, we gave out winners. Monster winners. I gave out the Rockies over the Dodgers, speaking of the Dodgers, the other day at 3-1 odds. You had Urias under, 5.5 strikeouts, and Sheck had the Mets -1.5 against this Nationals team, which should be relegated, I think. But a good job by us, 3-for-3 on the play of the day, right?
Especially having to play baseball during football season.
Yeah.
I'll be honest. I know the baseball regular season ended yesterday. I'll catch up on baseball on Tuesdays and Wednesdays, wow, and perhaps a Friday, and maybe on a Saturday night late. But I'm ready.
Right. Well, that's more than half the week.
Okay. Hey, you guys, there's a girl crawling around on the floor. Oh, wait, sorry. There was a girl crawling around on the floor. I have no idea who that was. Sorry for that interruption there.
All right, check. I don't want some kind of scandal here. I didn't even see her. Anyway,
we're lousy with chicks crawling around in here, everything.
Lots of little girls in the Damaschek household. ExtraPoints.com/arcade. You get it all done there. We have our prop quiz contest up. We have our pick'em contest up. You're going to get a little taste of what a good solid card looks like as we're going to go over about 7 or 8 NFL games, and Martin's going to give you a pick, and Martin never loses. Martin, what did we figure you were, Martin? 40. You're at 70%, right?
I know the win total is 41.
41-13-1. Does that sound right? No?
I think it might be close to 41-15. 41-15.
31-13-1. 31-13. 45, right?
No, I was 31-13 going into week three. Or going into week four, rather. So I know I've won
picked a lot of these games, right? Now, listen, Harry and I are only 7 games behind you. I feel like there's enough of the season to chip away. Damaschek, I think you're about 10 or 11. You're not worried at all. You're nipping at the heels already.
Oh, listen, we have 13 weeks left of action to go. I'm not at all concerned. Very early on, fellas. Very early on still.
We have more. We actually do the playoffs. We run this all the way through. All right, listen, so that's at extrapoints.com/arcade. Let's get into the NFL. There's a game, obviously, tonight. But before we cover that, I do want to talk about this protester who's now filing charges for a brutal assault. I think that's what he's calling it. First of all, I didn't even know he was a protester. I just thought he was labeled as a streaker, which that wasn't true, right? But he gets on the field and he's got all this pink smoke going. We thought it was some kind of weird gender reveal. Not the case. He's protesting animals. Is that what it was? Was it an animal protest, Martin? I'm not even sure what it was.
This is one that I have to give the glue girl credit. We spoke to her. She was one of the, I don't say the first, but the first of the wave after the world reopened of getting out there and really showing at a sporting event for some greater cause, at least what you determined to be some greater cause. But you know what? She got out there. She got her messaging together. We knew all about what it was. She's doing interview tours. She's on podcasts. I got no idea. Mm-hmm. It's Thursday. It was Monday when this happened. I got no idea still what this guy was talking about, what he was protesting.
What he stands for.
Poor job by you, buddy. Really, really, really bad job by you. And you got your clock cleaned by a linebacker. I understand why he's doing. He's trying to find some level of, like, some recompense out of this whole scenario. But you just embarrassed yourself all the way around.
He was an animal rights activist, I'm being told. Yes, and like you said, Bobby Wagner just came up and just demolished him, right? And so now he's suing. Sheck, it's
That's
a weird
where we part
thing.
Ways. That's where we part ways, though, Sal.
How so?
Obviously, ridiculous, fraudulent lawsuit, whatever, by this dope running down onto the field. What did you expect? Obviously, you knew this was going to be the reaction. Now you're just trying to get another bite at the apple for some attention for your cause or for yourself. I think the disappointing aspect that people haven't really talked about is Bobby Wagner could have hit him at least twice as hard.
Oh,
you know, and no one would take him to task for that. If you get one lick in on somebody behaving that way on a field, and by the way, like we've talked about, not to get up on Mount Pius about it, but if human beings choose to get into the personal space of professional athletes because they're down in the arena, you get what you get. You deserve whatever you get. Wagner should have dropped the hammer. He didn't really. Mm. And other people have in sports history have really unloaded on guys who do this. This was a pretty tepid hit by Bobby Wagner. He should have really laid him out.
Yeah, for sure. There's obviously you can't say this guy deserves anything he gets, right? If some weirdo assistant coach pulls out a rifle and shoots him, that's probably a little much, but I have to say this is one assault that we're all kind of rooting for, right? A security guard tackles him. Great. A player, even better. How about another fan? Even better, Martin. Another fan comes out and tackles a guy. Then it's chaos, but I don't think a lot of people feel bad for this dude, for sure.
No, and I mean, why should you? I mean, first of all, we're all watching football. At that point, it's not a great game, but it's still one that's in the balance. We're still watching. We're hooked in here. And now we got to sit here and watch ISOs of Sean McVay on the sideline. Because for whatever reason, ESPN refuses to, or any broadcast partner besides the Mannings, refuse to show these jerks really doing it. I think if you saw Bobby Wagner take guys like Bobby Wagner like in that mode, maybe less people would run out. I bet if the glue girl would have a second thought. Maybe that's why she did it at a basketball game. Less violence in general.
You know, all right. Babyface Joel Solomon is having trouble getting his mic together here. He had a good idea for this. This should be added. You know, they announced last week that the Pro Bowl is going away and instead a flag football game will take its place and a skills competition overseen by our bosses, the Manning brothers, Eli and Peyton. Babyface says this should be one of the events that is looked at. You go, what do you do? Babyface, what were you saying? And basically, a fan runs on the field, and we see which player could apprehend him, tackle him, put him down in the least amount of time with the most force. Was it something like that?
Yeah, I would love to see this in the Pro Bowl. Everyone wants the fans to get involved, so a fan is given a chance. He's given a five-second head start, and then let's see the best defensive players in the game run him down, tackle him. And, it's kind of like a rodeo, but not. And no animals will be hurt, so the protesters will be happy. Dave, feel free to set the odds on who would win this.
In history, off the top of my head, Mike Curtis of the Colts once laid out a fan who ran down onto the field, and it was much celebrated. James Harrison did it to a Cleveland Browns fan, I believe.
James Anderson's still doing it, but not on the field, I think. Yeah.
That's his choice.
Whoever he wants.
As a civvy. Right. Yeah. Rick Monday went and grabbed the U.S. flag, grabbed the American flag away at Wrigley Field.
Well, didn't Ditka knock someone out? Was it Ditka or Butkus?
Ditka laid somebody out. And then there was a NHL linesman once, some dope at the Boston Garden jumped down under the ice to go argue a call with, I think it was Don Koharski, and he was shuffling over and he got within 2 or 3 feet and out of the side of the screen. If you're watching it on TV, the linesman comes out of nowhere and it's the all time greatest hit you'll ever see.
It's good.
On a fan. It's the best.
I like Joel's idea. I would say if you're going to run out on the field during a football game, your best case scenario is just an overzealous security guard bear hugs you and walks you back to the sidelines, right? Bobby Wagner. I don't know if we take a fund up to pay for Bobby Wagner's assault, so-called assault, but I wouldn't mind doing
that. No, you know, a glass half full view of that is a lot of people got in touch with me and said, no, you should be flattered that John Hamm laid you out. So by that standard, I don't want some dopey security guard lay me out. At least I want it to be an NFL star. John Hamm, Hollywood phony, laid me out. Somehow I'm supposed to be flattered by that. I am
yes,
not.
Yes, you should.
See, really, but anyway, the guy should be filing a lawsuit. If you go back and look at the video, there's a guy in the yellow vest that catches him, but there's a guy in all black who runs and he falls. And it's the worst non-contact fall that I've seen since Sterling Shepard in week 3 happened to that
it
guy
really
right
did
there.
Look like his ACL just gave out. It's in furtherance of a job, right? So he can't sue, but that was interesting. A lot went on for sure. In that play. All right, let's do this. Thursday night, Denver home against Indianapolis. It's 3 now. It ticked up to 3.5. You know what? I'm buying the half point back. I liked it when it was 3.5. Now, it was 3 all week, and then we found out that no Jonathan Taylor for the Colts. And so for Denver, we know no Javonte Williams. He's out for the year. No Randy Gregory. He's out, too, on the defensive end. I think neither team here is very good through the first month, but unlike the Colts, the Broncos keep getting shoved down our throats on primetime. What is it, Check? I think they have the full boat of 5, which is fine, but really, we have to see them 3 times in the first 4 weeks, not even 4 weeks? Give me a break with Denver. They should have consulted me. I would have told you this team was not going to be that good. Why do I have to put them on in primetime so much?
It's the QB league, and Russ, for better or worse, is one of the more prominent QBs. I think the absence that hasn't really been focused on, and it's not the end of the world, you would think, for the Indianapolis Colts, but look at their record. The ongoing absence of Shaq Leonard. He finally gets out there and then immediately gets dinged and is out again. On Thursday Night Football. That's not small. I mean, no Jonathan Taylor, no Javonte Williams, who I was super high on going into the season and didn't deliver, now has the devastating injury to boot. I'm going to go with the Broncos at home here. I hate it either way because both teams are pretty bad. It's hard to get enthusiastic about them, but I continue to say, I'll say what I said last week to be consistent. At some point, I do think that Russell Wilson and those pass catchers turn the corner a little bit and start to put up some points that you would expect for a future Hall of Famer and a gaggle of high pedigree pass catchers to deliver.
All right. Let's hit Martin. I have trouble betting on Nate Hackett as a favorite here. I'd rather take the points. What do you like?
I don't see any reason why Denver. I mean, I understand that this Colts team is not that great, but they did beat one of the best teams in football, Kansas City. Well, Denver has shown me no reason why they should be favored at all. I think Indianapolis is the play here, especially if it was 3.5. I liked it way better at 3.5. And I think that it's concerning, though, with no Jonathan Taylor. That gives me, because that's the only path for Indianapolis to have consistent offense. I'm thinking my official play, I'm going to go Denver, the total team under. 22.5. Under 22.5, that's plus 105. I don't see this team scoring touchdowns.
Denver under. The under is probably the play here. Colts defense ranks second versus the run, so I think Russ Sheck is going to likely to throw the ball, but I'm not sure that that's a great thing. I'm going to go 19-16. I like where you're thinking there, Martin, with the under. Colts, though, 11-5 against the spread in their last 16 road games. So I'm buying the extra half a point. Mikey Meatballs, make sure that's on the graphic there. I probably have to pay a $1.20, but I want that 3.5 there. Could be a crazy McManus-type 70-yarder at the end to win. What were you going to say, Martin?
I was just going to say, if I think both of these teams haven't shown me much offensively, I already like the under. But I think the Colts should win this game, especially with, like you said, the Nathaniel Hackett factor playing in there. So, but the whole, it's fascinated between three, three and a half, and Jonathan Taylor going out feels like it should have moved more. So that's why I'm just playing the Denver score.
It's weird how they don't move these. Like, all right, the number one fantasy guy almost universally is out. Yeah, we'll move it a half a point. Really, that's the only hope for them.
And if you care about the specific matchup, Sertan is coming on. You think that Pittman, with Matt Ryan's career-long affinity for his clear-cut number one and targeting him over and over again, yeah, that's probably a bad matchup for the Colts as well there with a guy who's emerging as a guy who legitimately can take away the other team's number one receiver. So that's another reason to perhaps like the Bronx here.
All right. Well, he did fall in love with Mo Alley Cox, who, if you listen on Against the Odds, is my pick for first touchdown at 16-1. I think that's juiced up a little high. All right, listen, wherever you bet, go to Caesars. I mean, whatever you bet, go to Caesars. Not wherever you bet, because if you're betting somewhere else, it wouldn't be. Anyway, go to Caesars. Let me tell you a little about Caesars. All right, listen, whatever you're betting, teasers, over, under, do it through Caesars, because they have all the names. Caesar himself, Cleo, the Mannings, Henrik Lundqvist, and now yours truly. Yes, Against All Odds is now a proud member of the Caesars empire. And your very first bet, it's on Caesars. Up to $1,250. If you win, congrats. If you don't, you'll get it all back as a free bet. That first bet also gives you 1,000 tier credits and 1,000 reward credits, putting you closer to the types of perks only Caesars can offer. So download the app, use promo code CZRFULL, and go full Caesars this season. Oh, you must be physically present in Arizona, Colorado, Illinois, Indiana, Iowa, Kansas, Louisiana, Maryland, Michigan, Nevada, New Jersey, New York, Ontario, Pennsylvania, Tennessee, Virginia, West Virginia, Wyoming, and Washington, D.C. Sports betting is void in Georgia, Hawaii, Ohio, and Utah, and other states where prohibited. Yes, you have to know when to stop before you start. If you have a gambling problem in Illinois, Maryland, New Jersey, Virginia, West Virginia, or Pennsylvania, or if you know someone who has a gambling problem, crisis counseling and referral services can be accessed by calling 1-800-GAMBLER. Or in Maryland, visit MarylandGamblingMDGamblingHelp.org. Or West Virginia, visit 1-800-GAMBLER.net. Arizona, call 1-800-NEXT-STEP. Colorado, D.C., Nevada, Wyoming, Kansas, call 1-800-522-4700. Indiana, call 1-800-9-WITH-IT. Iowa, call 1-800-BETS-OFF. Louisiana, call 1-877-770-STOP. Michigan, call 1-800-270-7117. New York, call 877-8-HOPENY or text HOPENY. That's 467-369. Visit CONNEXONTARIO.CA or call 1-866-531-2600 or text CONNEX to 247-247. Tennessee, call or text Tennessee Redline 1-800-889-9789. All right, let's take a quick break and then we'll discuss the London game and so many others. We'll be right back.
10 seconds on the clock. How many things can you name that are always growing? Your relationships, your skills, your customer base. How about businesses on Shopify? Shopify is the global commerce platform that helps you sell at every stage of your business. From the launch your online shop stage, to the first real-life store stage, all the way to the did we just hit a million orders stage, Shopify's there to help you grow. Sign up for a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/network, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/network now to grow your business, no matter what stage you're in. shopify.com/network.
Hi, this is ESPN's Mike Greenberg, and ESPN Bet is ready to take you through all the biggest sports moments this spring. The official sports book of ESPN has exclusive offers and markets from Scott Van Pelt, Stephen A. Smith, and me. From the playoff intensity to finally getting out to the ballpark, there's no better time for sports fans. Sign up today, and new users get $100 in bonus bets for making any sportsbook bet. Download ESPN Bet today. What a play.
Must be 21 plus and present in select states. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. Terms and conditions apply. See app for details.
All right, here we go. Another London game. Packers minus 841 against the Giants. Packers officially the home team. I don't know. What's the latest, Spaghetti? It looks like it's going to be Daniel Jones, right?
Yeah.
Played okay, practiced well Wednesday, I think. And, you know, unless there's a setback.
Yeah, literally 2 minutes ago, just reading some tweets from the beat writers. They said he's moving around much healthier than he has been, looks much faster today. So Daniel Jones will play the game on Sunday. Yeah, so no quarterback issues for the Giants.
All right, so there you go. Well, I mean, honestly.
The quarterback issue was what do you do? Going to play.
Yeah, 3-1.
Oh, they are 3-1. And the Packers had a little bit of trouble with Bailey Zappi. So I wouldn't even say, yeah, if Davis Webb is in, it's over. But I am all over the Packers a little bit. I mean, I think that's the point. This is the week they truly get it together defensively, by the way. I don't think they had it. Adrian Amos is questionable. Jair Alexander's back. I think they pressure Jones. That's three tough defenses, I will say, the Giants have played now in a row. It's you say what you will about the Bears, but they bring it defensively. Cowboys and now the Packers. Packers 4-0 against the spread. I know this sounds stupid. As an 8-point favorite or more at home, this actually might be more of a home field advantage in London. We're going to see a bad London game. We already gave them a good one. 23-13 Packers. Sheck, what do you like?
It's funny. I've had this debate with our pal, Handsome Hank Hodgson, who is now, I think, the king or the prince of football in the UK. I forget what his proper title is. I think that's I got it right, though. But what team should the UK embrace? The Packers feel right to me, right? Doesn't that seem like that should be their team? They're old and they're traditional and their uniforms. And otherwise, I think that they're home. If, in fact, they do embrace these Packers, are going to go home happy. I'm with you. I think a double digit win is ready to roll here. I think that they have to assert themselves because the premise of these Packers is defensive dominance, taking away the run. I think that Saquon can do that, and that suits you too, Sal, since you're rooting for Saquon to get hurt.
There you go. No, I'm not. No, I have him in every fantasy league. How is that? Oh, I see. Okay. Because of my other bet.
No, you can't let him hit the 900, right?
Yes.
The 900 rush yards.
No, he'll survive. Check, that is an interesting point with the It has to be New England, though, right? New England has to be either their most hated or they're the one they root for the most. It has to be one or the other, right? It's either like, we hate this team.
No, they embrace, like, we hate you so much, England, that our whole team, our whole thing is based around the Revolutionary War and the heroes. Where it gets confusing, of course, is that when their best players, when they choose to honor the very best New England Patriots of all time, what do they give them? A red coat makes no GD sense. We beat back the red coats. That's the whole revolution. And then they go against it. It's insane.
Yes. And Babyface is pointing out it's the Jaguars. I know we're saying which team would it make most sense. Well, they should send New England then there, because at least you have a hate. At least there's somebody they could root against, right? If all those things you say.
That makes sense. True. Yes.
There's an easy answer to that. It's the Los Angeles Chargers. In part because nobody would miss them here, and then they could actually have a dedicated, real, actual fan base. Like the Chargers 3 years ago played in a soccer stadium, and I didn't realize how small that thing was until I went to go see an XFL game in the same stadium. Mm-hmm. It is like half of the lower bowl of where USC plays, of the Coliseum.
Right.
Like, It looks like
right by accident they'd have more fans there in London, Tottenham, whatever stadium you put there. Yeah,
I've been to high school stadiums that were bigger than they played. The Chargers played a full home schedule there. I've been in high school football stadiums bigger than that.
They'd probably prefer that at this point. Going back to it. At least there's an excuse as to why there weren't fans there for them.
But, well, the Steelers would have made sense in the Big Ben era, but now that's coming.
Oh yeah, so that's true. All right, Martin, what's your pick?
I'm gonna take the Giants. Just off the strength that it's a it's the total so low and an 8-point spread, and like the Packers have only who have they beaten by more than 8 points? This is just the Bears, right? The Packers haven't. They only beat the Bucks by 2 points. They went to overtime with Bailey Zappi. Like, maybe this is the get right, but I don't know. I'll go ahead. I'll bet with the Daniel Jones again.
All right, Martin's a little. I don't know if I know a lot of Martin supporters out there, but he seems very iffy on this one. I mean, usually 70%. He goes after Spaghetti for not having a quarterback, and then ends up taking the Giants. All right, we'll see.
Sometimes the gambling play doesn't necessarily. I think the Packers should win. Do I think they win by 10 points? Then I feel much better taking the 8. I don't know if they win by 10 points. I think it's probably a touchdown. Maybe so I'll go with the Giants.
Jets originally from Queens, Sheck. That, you know.
Okay.
That makes sense.
We're maybe getting somewhere now.
Yeah. All right. Now we're really somewhere. Bills, 14-point favorite over your Steelers and a big 46.5. Martin, to your point, that's a big over under compared to the big spread. I don't know why I'm doing this, but I'm taking the points. I said I wouldn't do this after they blew out the Titans, the Bills did. They smoked Tennessee. Then they had that hiccup game against the Dolphins. And now they're back on track with a nice road win in Baltimore. And you got that defense against Kenny Pickett. Check, it's hard to improve on an A-minus, the grade you gave him, but maybe throws fewer than three interceptions. I like the Steelers. I know it's all, you know, without Watt, different team, but they're still allowing only 22 points a game. Miles Jack, 43 tackles. You have to be happy with Highsmith with 5.5 sacks. Fitzpatrick, interceptions. I think Pickett backdoors a cover here. 34-23, Sheck.
I ultimately agree with you because, I mean, as we've talked about for years on end, mm-hmm. two touchdown dog in pro football. I really want to take the Bills, you know, spiritually. I mean, I would never actually wager against my favorite football team. Look at the injury report, though. Both sides is a bloody mess. I mean, it's really hard to figure out who's going to be out there for either defense. If you really go through it, half of the Steelers secondary, more than half their secondary, didn't practice on Wednesday. It's in question if Minkah Fitzpatrick's going to play or any of the other starters are going to be out there in time for Sunday. But same goes for a lot of the high-end players on the Bills defense. Obviously, Josh Allen, I'm not going to pick against him on the money line. I do think, like you just said, the kid is going to stay game and they're going to keep on firing. It takes on a different vibe than if you're just playing out a second half, the outcome of which is already determined. The Steelers are going to keep on firing because they have the rookie in there to try and build for the next week and the weeks upcoming. So, yeah, I think the Steelers, even if they drop down three touchdowns at some point, maybe scratch out a late, meaningless fourth quarter touchdown to get past that 14. But I'm sick about it. I'm excited about it. That's why I'm excited about the Kenny Pickett era. That's what I want to say. I know it's not a great time to start it up in Buffalo, but nevertheless, let's stay enthused.
Well, you know my point. I can't let my friends be excited unless they're rooting for the same team I am. So that's where I come in. Martin, I feel like you're the same way.
In this game, I like – God damn it, Martin, spit it out. I'm sorry. I'm going Martin, with
slap
the
yourself. Do something. Wake up here, buddy.
I'm out of it. I'm sorry. Yeah, I'm taking the Steelers. 14 right. points. The Bills in their last two games have had these huge, like, emotional comeback type deals with the Miami thing and then having the whole thing with Baltimore and that last drive down the field. I think they're beat up a lot. And then Pittsburgh not starting Trubisky. I think you can't understate how much of an upgrade just a league average quarterback will be compared to him. So as long as they take care of Pickett and don't turn the ball over 8 times, covering 14, especially with an over-under 46, it's kind of the same logic as the Giants with taking 8-41. Like, they're
what
saying
would,
it's going to be low-scoring game.
Check, what would the score have to be to see Trubisky back in?
I think it would have to be an injury to 8. That's the only way.
An injury? Really? If it's like 41-3, they keep him in? To keep him from getting injured.
I think you give him as many. I think, like I said a minute ago, mm-hmm. I just think that they're that now, based on the choice to turn to the rookie, now they're incented to keep on rolling with him no matter what the situation
is. I'm saying they acknowledge he's our starter. We can't get him hurt in this game that's a blowout. They take him out and put Trubisky in. I mean, whatever you want.
My guess would be that Tomlin in that spot would say, hey, we want to give this kid as many reps as we possibly can, so keep him out there no matter what.
All right. Chargers-Browns. This is a good one. Chargers -2.5, 47.5. Yeah, I'm not a believer in the Chargers. Sheck loves them. I love the Raiders. Neither team is probably going too far. Chargers 2-2. They lose Bosa.
You don't know, Sal.
Nobody knows. There's a bunch of good 2-2 teams. There's a bunch of terrible 2-2 teams. And I don't know. I'm just not. I heard Matt Money Smith. I believe it's his job. Of course, you want to be excited about the Chargers. But I wouldn't take a win over the winless Texans as a sign that they're back. Browns lost to Atlanta. Not much better. Herbert, what does he have? 1,250 yards, 9 touchdowns, 2 interceptions. God forbid anyone say anything bad about him. They shouldn't. He's right up there in the top 5, top 6, even in a weird year where the quarterback, everything's going sideways. But I feel like everyone's checking off the Chargers here, -2.5, because it's less than 3, and they have a superior quarterback. But Meanwhile, somehow they didn't get much better against the run this year, signing those tackles and everything. Chubb and Hunt are over 650 yards through 4 weeks. I think they shortened the game against the Chargers. Staley makes a stupid call. Cleveland wins 30-24. I'm going Cleveland, but the over more so, which is 8-2 in the Chargers' last 10 games. Martin, which way are you going
like
this game?
I like the Browns here, too. Just off the strength, if you look at the two teams, the Browns have been one of the more consistent teams in the AFC so far this season. And Jacoby Brissett has been playing at a pretty high level. And part of me betting on Atlanta last week was thinking that he wasn't going to be able to keep that up. And the Browns really should have won that game. You look at the Chargers, gave up 24 points to the Texans. Like, that's concerning. When you look at I like Davis Mills as much as the next guy. The Texans don't score a lot of points. And the Chargers, they gave up a ton of points on them. Browns are going to run the ball all over them. Bosa. Like, I'm with the Browns in 2.5.
Why can't they stop the run here, Sheck? I know you're going Chargers, by the way, but I don't understand why they can't stop the run.
It's weird.
Pierce was everyone forgot about him.
Yeah, you figured they had it solved by the ads that they made in the offseason, but so far not so good. Kenneth Murray continues to be banged up and maybe tracking towards disappointing because he was supposed to be a great steal when Telesco landed him where he did a couple of years ago. Yeah, I'm taking the Chargers, though, because, yeah, it's funny that you invoked the name Davis Mills because the same effect is now kind of sort of taking place with Jacoby Brissett. We talk about it all the time. It's at the QBs. Who is this guy? We didn't know what to expect from this guy. Get excited about him. More and more tape on that guy. Defenses figure him out. Davis Mills is getting exposed as just a guy. Jacoby Brissett, we've long known as just a guy. Here it comes, everybody. Jacoby Brissett, the big fallback. Oh, he got everybody excited. Once again, how many times are you going to get Charlie Brown or Lucied or whichever it is by Jacoby Brissett? It's diminishing returns. The longer you leave him in the offense, the more it's going to be revealed that he's Jacoby Brissett.
Right.
Chargers win.
Who was the teacher in Peanuts that you couldn't understand? That was genius. Like that. I love that. It was annoying. And yet, that's Coach Staley. That's basically it. It all comes around. All right, Philly -5 at Arizona. Boy, that's a lot to give on the road. The Eagles are being treated as a legitimate, undefeated, flawless team. That's what this tells me, -5, mm-hmm. or they're against Arizona. I want to ask you guys, unless you've seen it already, on Caesars, they have, I love it, they keep it going for over-under wins for teams. Did you see the Eagles number? Just tell me if you've seen it or not.
I haven't seen it, no.
I have not.
Okay, give me your best guess. 17 games, how many did they win?
They've already They have, and they have one of the easier rides left here. I'll say that they're at 13 total.
Martin?
I was going to say 13, so I'll say you're making a point of it, so I'll go 14.
Yeah, I guess I led the witnesses too much. All right, it's right in the middle, 13.5. I don't know. I looked at that Monday. I'm like, oh, my God, but you're right. You look at the rest of their schedule, and maybe they're not favored in two or three games. Like, at Dallas, probably not favored, depending on the quarterback situation. They have the Packers in there. My God, and that's not to say they have to win every game that they're favored in. But 13.5 for the Eagles? Sirianni, coach of the year? I think I'm buying into it. I'm definitely not buying it to Kingsbury. Arizona 0-7 against the spread in their last 7 home games. That's a big number. I think Kyler has trouble with this defense in the first half, and it's going to be enough to get Philly the win and cover 28-17. Sheck, what do you think?
Stinker pick from Damashek. I was in on the Eagles in the preseason. I picked them to win the division and to be a high seed come playoff time, obviously, by winning the division. I'm taking the Cards here, and I know I'm really trying to thread the needle here because it's pretty easy for me to talk myself into the Eagles leaving the desert with a win. But that's a lot, as you say, that's a lot of points, although it's come down from 5.5, if I'm not mistaken, right? Mm-hmm. The Cards, so down to 5. I'm playing a hunch here that that Kyler's going to show up and do just enough against that defense to make it a fun game, and I'm going to take the Cardinals +5 at home.
They play well. They dominated that. What was the Panthers last week, right? Arizona. I just don't trust it completely yet. I don't know, Martin. Maybe 5 is too much. What are you saying?
I think that the Cardinals beat probably the worst team in the NFC in the Panthers last week, and this week we'll get beat down by probably the best team in the NFC. One thing that concerns me about the Eagles, they did lose two offensive linemen last week, and you know I would like to wait to make my official bet on Saturday when I find out if those guys are going to play or not. But seeing as you guys are forcing me right here on Thursday to go ahead and lock it in, I'm taking the Eagles. I mean, the Jaguars before playing Philly had played some of the best football that we had seen in the league, and in the second half. I know it was raining, but I can't imagine that Trevor Lawrence is that much worse in the rain than he is in regular, like, sunshiny weather. If that's the case, then they might want to build a dome in Jacksonville. But I think this Philly defense is going to cause all types of hell for Arizona offense, that if Kyler Murray is not doing video game type stuff, it won't matter. Like, they can't.
Yeah.
Cliff Kingsbury's out of his league.
Well, that's the one thing. The defense hasn't been spectacular. You thought those two Georgia stars were going to pay dividends immediately, but they gave up 100 points to the Lions, most of them garbage time. You know, they down 14-0 to the Jaguars. The Commanders, I think they handled pretty well. But that's I guess they're undefeated at 13.5. My God.
That's right. That's exactly right. I mean, like, but then again, if you get into the Wayback Machine and it takes you back to 1 year ago at this point, we're talking about the Cardinals undefeated and saying, are they real? I mean, they're undefeated, but are we really? I think the Eagles 2022 are a tick better than the Cardinals were a year ago. But same thing. Come on. I mean, the Eagles are very good. Are they some world beater? Come on. All right. It's got to catch up with them sooner rather than later. The Cardinals are a very good pup of the week pick, by the way.
We're going to get to that in a minute. It's based on, obviously, the rest of the season. Check. Did you see what the Steelers are win total? What would you think?
Ooh, I can't imagine there's a lot of confidence in a rookie QB in a defense that's a little bit of a letdown so far this year. I bet you it went all, well, the season started at 7.5. I bet you, because a lot of people are thinking they're going to be 1-7 here, 5.5.
2.5. What?
No way.
What? That's an insult. True. No, it's 5.5. You got it right.
Good. Good.
Martin, you want to guess your team? The Saints?
Oh, God. Jeez. Wait, where are they? What a disappointment. I mean,
it is a
I'll go 6.5.
All right, it is 7.5. What were they to start? 8.5?
I think it was close to 9. Like everything first started out, they were close to 9, I believe.
And they might have been because they were like a coin flip to make the playoffs. So
they don't have the number one overall pick from 2015, who's their starting quarterback, and they don't have one of the best running backs of the last half decade either. Saints, what a bummer. Like, yeah, they don't have their good players. That's what happens.
I think they get right-ish this week. We're not going over that game. I showed Martin mercy, so we didn't have to cover that game. But Rams-Cowboys, we do have to do mine. I'm not going to go. I'm not going.
Huh.
Don't make me go. I already I'm counting it as a win. I saw them beat the Giants. Am I going to see them beat the Giants and the Rams and sit in traffic for 6 hours and whatever? I'm already planning on seeing the Mets lose to the Dodgers. How much misery can I get? I mean, I'm way ahead of myself with that. We'll get to that. But anyway, Rams 5.5 point favorite, 42.5. Hey, it's the battle of the Coopers. Rush versus Cup. Even though Cooper Manning, we know, is the greatest Cooper of all time. Amari would have been fun if he had stuck around to be in this fun. But Rush versus Cup, I don't know. This could be where we see Cooper Rush take a big step back versus that Rams front seven. But we talk about offenses and how they've all stalled, and this Rams offense does not scare me at all. Take that Atlanta game out, 39 points in 3 games. I don't think it gets right against this defense, which has been endorsed by Martin Weiss, the greatest compliment you can get as a defense. Cowboys 5-0 in their last 5 road games against the spread. Here's what's going to happen, though, guys. We haven't had a dumb Mike McCarthy moment. It's been a month. We're going to see it this week. They'll lose by a field goal or 21-20, and it's going to be a McCarthy miscue that gets it done. But Cowboys still cover. Martin, what do you say about this game?
The games that we have to pick for this is by far the one that's the toughest for me. I want to pick the Rams so bad. I truly want to, because I just can't imagine they're as bad as we have seen going forward. And I feel like Sean McVay can figure out their offensive struggles. And defensively, they have not been playing poorly, right? Like, they really just can't. They're always on the field. Then on the flip side, Cooper Rush is either going to be a starting quarterback in this league for like 5 more years, or the glass slipper's coming off this week, next week, or the week after. And one of those weeks, I don't want to be holding that ticket. I've been trying not to. I thought it was going to be last week against the Commanders, and it wasn't. But I'm feeling like, because I'm going to pick the Cowboys this week, this is the week where Cooper Rush has 3 interceptions, and there's absolutely zero quarterback controversy when Dak Prescott is healthy again.
Well, but I'm 3 interceptions gets you an A-.
I'm betting on Dak. I'm betting on Michael Parsons. I hope Michael Parsons brings it home for me.
But that's it, right? Everything's relative, Shaq, right? Is Cooper Rush worse off against the Rams defense than Stafford is against the Cowboys defense? Maybe a little bit, but 5.5 points worth? I'm not sure.
All right. First of all, fascinating detail you provided, and I'm ashamed of myself for missing it. You know, I love things like Cooper. Had Amari Cooper been there, but he's not. Still then holding on to the greatest one of those kind of things. One time in Heinz Field, Eli Manning, Eli Rogers, and Eli Apple. I think there are 7 total human beings to ever be in the NFL named Eli, and 3 of them played at the exact same time on the exact same field. And to bring it all the way back to the Mannings, Archie is the father of Peyton and Eli and Cooper, and Archie should be in SoFi Stadium watching the Cowboys with his old man Sal this weekend. It's a disgrace. How do you not take
– that's Archie's disgrace?
Team. Well, because that's his team. Don't you have a moral obligation to take your boy out to see him?
No, I'm on team. Yeah. Don't wait in traffic for 4 hours. Rush home for a podcast. That's my team. That's my favorite.
You need a
team.
Helicopter or something like, or like a motorcycle, so you guys can zip in and out of traffic. All right, I hear.
Convince me you're going to win, and maybe I'll go. I don't know. I got Martin's.
I'm not going to do it.
I like him with the points. I don't want to get mad at Mike McCarthy for a long ride home. You're not going to do it. You're taking the Rams.
Here's the recency bias. Obviously, you just saw the Rams. Shanahan owns McVay. That's what we know above all else. Practically speaking, the Rams O-line got steamrolled by the Niners front. You think they're going to do any better against the Cowboys? Probably not. On the other hand, though, I like the Rams to turn it up with their high-end defense and take care of Cooper Rush. Give me the Rams at home in a spot that they really need to get a victory here. I don't want to get crazy with need to, but it would be nice for the Rams to get on track here now in October. I think they do that at home, even though they're probably going to be feeling like a road team, because I assume that most Cowboys fans will make an appearance in Los Angeles to root on the star. That's what I'm counting on.
They don't need me there. I'm sure a Cowboy fan will have my seat. There's about 65% chance it happens anyway. Hey, I don't want to – well, we'll go into baseball a little later. Another matchup, Shane Bieber against Shane McClanahan. Check.
Ooh.
Cleveland, Tampa Bay. That's a
Shane.
Fun. How many Shanes do you have going against each other? Not too many.
Interesting.
We'll get back to that in a second. All right, what's the other game here? All right, Ravens-Bengals. This is a fun one. Game of the week, I think. Ravens somehow have lost 5 straight at home. They're a 3-point favorite. 51's the over-under against Cincy. This is my get-right game, Martin. I didn't drop the Ravens defense. A lot of people I saw in fantasy leagues dropped the Ravens defense. How do you do that up against Joe Burrow? You know, right? You're going to get 2 sacks by accident. By the way, Bengals back on track. Are we for sure certain? They beat the Jets. They beat an emotionally spent Dolphins team on a Thursday night. This game is bigger for Baltimore. I think they get Gus Edwards and Ronnie Stanley back. That could be big. The under is probably the better way to go. Somehow it's 9-0 in the Bengals' last 9 overall. 24-20. I'm taking the Ravens, and I'm taking the under. Martin, what do you like?
I'm taking the Ravens, too. Eventually, this Ravens team has got to surround itself around Lamar Jackson. I know he did not play well in the second half last week, but defensively, they've got to step up and be better. Otherwise, I'm just going to be completely wrong about my Super Bowl pick. They should be able to beat the Bengals, especially when you think about the way that the Bengals played them last year. I feel like that's something that you know, Marlon Humphreys and those guys, Marcus Peters. Like, it's a lot of the same faces, right? So I'm expecting them to get it in order at some point. And it's terrifying that I'm doing it against T. Higgins and Ja'Marr Chase and Joe Burrow. But again, ultimately, I kind of think you're right. I don't know how much the Bengals have figured out in terms of up front. Right. I just think they haven't gone against Parsons and Watt. Baltimore's deep pass rush is better than the whatever the Jets and the Dolphins are running out there.
Check. I one of these teams is going to have three losses through 5 weeks.
It's right. Schedule, it's funny. Time.
Yeah.
Not as. But I mean, same thing with the Chargers and Browns. These scenarios keep cropping up here, don't they? I'm going to take the Ravens at home. I 4 weeks in, you said that the Bengals really. I think if Tua doesn't get hurt, and even with Teddy B in there, pretty close to the backup getting thrown in there in Queen City in a big spot for Cincy and losing that game. It's weird that it's one thing that Joe Mixon hasn't gotten rolling yet, and it's another thing that Chase hasn't gotten going yet. But both, they can't get – what gives with the Bengals? It's some weird voodoo going on there. I'm taking the Ravens at home. One of these teams is going to be 2-3, and that's why I'm still so sick in my balls that the Steelers can't be 2-2, because that division can be had, but not when you're 1-6 or 1-7.
That's true. Yeah, that's not gonna
they're probably not going to win it from there.
Caesars has a 2.5 wins. That's not right. Going to be troubling a little. No. I'm not going to say either of these coaches are in trouble, but you kind of have to look to them at one point. Zach Taylor's made some mistakes for sure if they end up 2-3. And the Ravens with Harbaugh, the Ravens trailed. Check, we threw this around each other. Ben Folks brought this up. The 2-2 Ravens have trailed for a total of 14 seconds in their two losses. 14 seconds. Really weird. Really weird stuff. All right.
Right.
This is the Sunday night game. KC. Las Vegas. I should not be able to pick this game because I'm all over the Raiders every week. It finally worked last week against Denver. Kansas City looked great against Tampa Bay. Just suffocated them right off the bat. They're like, well, you're not going to even be in this game. But they kind of owed, if you go by who owes who what, they kind of owed Tampa Bay for previous games. Maybe the Chiefs take the Raiders for granted. They have their number. And you have to think if the Raiders are going to get up for any game, it'd be this one. I don't know if they win. 30-26. I'll take the Raiders plus the points. Martin, what are you saying?
I'm going to go ahead and take the Chiefs. I know the Raiders absolutely desperately need this game if they intend to contend this season. But what I saw out of Kansas City last week, I think that might be the best team in football. If they are able to run the ball with the effectiveness between Pacheco and Edwards-Helaire, if they're able to run the ball like that and still have Kelce get off, it may not matter that Tyreek Hill's not there. And if that defense is going to be, like you said, suffocating against Tampa, they're pretty much league average in most stuff. If they can be a top 13 defense, like the sky is the limit for the Chiefs. It's terrifying me that I picked the Ravens to win the Super Bowl, but I'm going with the Chiefs to cover the 7 here, and probably will go with them to cover most of the games going forward.
I did think the best thing to take out of that Raiders game, and Brother Bryce of Against the Law, the Degenerate Trifecta, is a big Raiders fan. Josh Jacobs seemed to have not only of his best games in years, but a couple of those runs looked very different from Josh. Now, this is a contract year. I know all that helps. On the flip side, check, the Chiefs had almost 200 yards rushing, right, against the against the Bucs. That was that you don't expect that at all against Vita.
Yeah, that's what I think. I want to take the Raiders here because I think we're inflating the Chiefs a little bit for a distinctive weird spot for the Bucs. They're at home, but we might leave and fly to Minnesota and we can't really practice because of the hurricane and all that business. I think the Raiders felt like we absolutely got to take down the Broncos or shame the devil. The season's over. It's kind of like when you're down 20 points in an NBA game and you rally all the way back and you catch him. And it's like, well, yeah, we have nothing left in the tank for to now actually win the game. I think the Raiders expended a fair amount of energy knowing they had to have this one. This is a terrible spot to walk into in Arrowhead. I think that I think that to exactly your point, I think that the Chiefs are presenting as a team that can grind you up now on the ground, and which is what teams like the Raiders tried to do to them for the last two, three seasons. I'm going to take the Chiefs in Arrowhead. It's a touchdown. That's a lot, but I'll take KC.
Well, listen, you guys let me know how this turns out. This is a Sunday night game, right?
This is Sunday night. No, it's Monday
night. Oh, it's not.
It's our Bungles game.
Oh, I'm on there, right? The Bungles are okay. All right, that's the one you guys have to let me know about, because I know DeGrom is going to be locked in a 1-0 deficit in the eighth inning, and I'm going to be biting my hands off for game three.
I thought when you said like I can't pick this one, I thought you were going to announce that you had landed a play-by-play gig or something. Like I got to lay off. What is that nonsense? Who gives a crap? Integrity? What, you can't? Chris Collinsworth can't make a pick on the game because he's in the broadcast booth? That's a step too far.
When I did the halftime pick for Fox, and we did a Thursday night Fox Bet Live, that would be, they'd go to me. And I'm like, I'd love to pick this game, but I can't. And it would drive Bonetta and Clay Travis and Todd Furman nuts that I couldn't pick the game on air because I was doing it. It is a nice power to have, I will say. Shaq, if somehow
I get it,
there,
right?
It's fun. It's like, well, too important for you right now, but you guys have at it.
I like it.
Let's take a quick break. We'll be back with our Pops of the Week.
Tired of ads interrupting your favorite sports podcasts? Good news! Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music, included with your Prime membership. Amazon Music offers the most ad-free top podcasts. Enjoy shows like First Take, Pardon the Interruption, and The Low Post, available ad-free and uninterrupted. To start listening, download the Amazon Music app or go to amazon.com/ESPN pods. That's amazon.com/ESPN pods to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Picture this. You arrive at your hotel. You have an important online meeting lined up with clients from all across the country. You have your laptop open, ready to begin, and the Wi-Fi is so terrible, you can't even connect. These types of stressful situations happen all the time, but they don't have to. When you book a room at La Quinta by Wyndham, you have access to their free high-speed Wi-Fi, so you can take care of those critical emails, join your meetings on time, and even unwind by streaming your favorite shows without having to worry. Tonight, La Quinta. Tomorrow, you shine. Book direct at LQ.com.
All right, our Pop of the Week. Here we go. This is it. We take an underdog to win the game, plus 150 or higher. I am going Carolina. Martin, you called them the worst.
Oh, my God. No way.
I might have done it, too. Well, listen, here's the thing. If you've been around this game even a year, you have to know you can't lean on last week's result too much, right? Mm-hmm. So the 49ers look great, whatever. They beat up on the Rams. Carolina, we're talking about, are they the worst team? Well, certainly one of the top three looking that way. I like this Panthers team this week. 49ers on a short week, flying east. Offense has not looked great. Say what you will about the 49ers. Their defense is spectacular. Their offense is such that every team has a chance against them. If you put up 17 points, home team, this instance has a chance. The under is 10-1 in the 49ers last 11. So I'm looking at something in the mid teens, believe it or not. 14-13, Baker's Panthers survive, pull out an ugly one. I know you hate that, Martin, but plus 220, it's juicy.
Dave, is that also your pup of the week?
I mean, my response to what Sal just said there is
no.
Ditto. That's a great
really?
You exclaimed, as Sal said, Panthers, it made me seem that not just Sal, but also you were just so wrong about this game.
Oh, man. Oh, come on.
Look, I hear what you're saying about the small sample sizes, and I completely understand that to be true. But I would challenge you to look at the larger sample size, which I will call Baker Mayfield's NFL career. Like that's mm-hmm. And he's going against what I don't know if you listened to Lemon Pepper, but I asked Will Blackman this earlier, and he agreed with me. I think the San Francisco 49ers defense may be the best unit in football. Like of all offense, defense, special teams, the 49ers defense.
They do look like they're playing a whole different game. They really do. They fly the ball like nobody else. Yep.
The idea that, I mean, I get it. I know the pup of the week is slim picking, so I'm not trying to kill you. And by definition, it is a long shot. But the Panthers haven't beaten a team that scored over 17 points, I think, in the last 2 years. Or it's some crazy stat with Matt Rhule. But
That can't be.
I don't want
to.
Looking at it right now. The Giants scored 19 points. They lost to them. The Cardinals, 26, lost to them. That's just this year. Browns, 26, they lost to them. If the teams – it's something incredible. Like, they score
– I don't think they're going to score 30, but I think they stay in there. With a 49ers team, I can't score either. 14-13.
You know as well as I do, Sal, because I Kyle Shanahan, the reason specifically – he wanted to move on from Jimmy G was the bad interceptions, the 1-4 bad balls that Jimmy G would throw every game. And if you're going to play on the razor's edge and dominate defensively and have Jimmy G back there, you're going to lose a couple knuckleballs along the way. You saw that in week one with Trey Lance in there against the Bears. That's inexplicable. In fact, if you look back, the weirdest result so far in the first month is that the Bears beat the Niners, right? But I think you're applying the exact logic that I am here, that they're flying across the country. Right as rain. We beat the defending world champions and everything else. I think this sets up. The only concern I have is Matt Rhule. It seems like he's really losing that locker room. Seems like guys are not scared to even say it on a microphone. Like, yeah, I don't know about this guy for long term.
Martin, I'm going to pick your whatever your pup is, it is, but I'm going to predict it right now. And I don't think it's very nice that you're taking the Seahawks over your own Saints.
Yo, that's wild, because I was sitting there debating. Like, I didn't want to waffle and be like, well, I really have two. But if you had to give me a second one, that would be my second pup.
Well, that was your first one, and now you feel stupid because I guessed it, and you have to go with what was going to be your second one. But it's
I can tell you the moment that it changed, and it was 15 minutes ago when a tweet from my sports update came across my phone. That's when I changed my pup of the week from that Seahawks team, who are going to handle both of my hometown teams in back-to-back weeks. I'm going, even though Kyle Pitts was not available in the media session of practice today.
Oh, wow.
I'm taking the Atlanta Falcons.
Wow.
To defeat the Tampa Bay Buccaneers. This Buccaneers team offensively is not good enough to lay 9 points to anybody. The Falcons score a ton of points. Mm-hmm. And I think that they'll keep it close enough. It'll be a close game at the end. They're just over 3-1 odds. I'm going to ride with that for the pup.
For real. For real, you're taking. Wow. Okay, Atlanta's going to be alone in first place in the NFC South.
And the tweet in question, I forgot to mention what the actual tweet said. It said, Bucks QB Tom Brady on his shoulder/finger injuries, quote, I'll be there Sunday. Bad vibes all around coming out of Tampa. I mean, a whole bunch of Tom Brady jokes. Give me the Falcons and Arthur Smith. And
maybe that's not bad.
I like the
way
they ran the ball last week, too.
Maybe that's not bad. But Sheck, the way Sheck feels about Jimmy G, and by the way, I bet Jimmy G to throw an interception at even odds on Monday, and it never happened. But you feel the same about Mariota. It's coming. There's going to be one of them, right? And against that
Bucs
defense,
but you know,
it has to be good.
We're in the uncharted space here, and it's funny that, 20-something years into the Belichick-Brady union, that it might happen, that if the Falcons do, and I with Marty, I don't think that would be a huge stunner at this point, given the way Brady's played and the mess and all the stuff. I mean, it's ugly stuff in the newspaper about his personal life. I'd be skittish about all that too. I'd be like, this is gross, guys. What are you talking about? My personal life? I get it. But if they lose, you know what could be really like, that's it for Belichick and the Patriots. Losing it at home to the Lions would indicate that to me, right? Bailey Zappi and all that. I don't care. There's no excuse. You cannot lose to the Detroit Lions in the 21st century in Foxborough if you're Bill Belichick and the New England Patriots. I don't care who's not out there. It would be a disgrace and the end of the Belichick mystique.
Interesting. All right. Well, they're a 3-point favorite. So
I know.
Yeah, they're expected to talk about a game they need for sure. All right, let's go baseball real quick. We only have a few minutes left there. I'm going to Mets. I think that line is a little hefty at minus 170 for a team that can't beat Yu Darvish. But whatever. Like I said, I think that's a 3-game series. I would take the Mets. I'll take the Phillies to upset St. Louis. I am going Cleveland, very red hot against a cold Tampa Bay team. Cleveland advances over Tampa. And I'm going to go Toronto, big favorite also, home against Seattle. Martin, I know you don't care, but some of these games are going to be on a Friday when there's no football. Do you have a pick in mind?
I'm going to go with the Mets because I was but it's all off the heart. I was just thinking earlier back when we were doing when the Megans came out with the video about how Citi Field and the U.S. Open, and it was like it was all going to be a great fall in Flushing. And so
ten and a half games up.
I really like that Narcos song too. I really really like that Narcos song.
So, well, it's fun, but everyone's stolen it now, including the Braves, who played it when Diaz came. He played it for the I forget what hitter came up against Diaz the other day. They played it for that.
How unoriginal can we be, America? This is the craziest thing.
I hate it.
The Journey song that they play, like born and raised in South, that should only be played in Detroit. It says Detroit right there. The Sweet Caroline belongs to the Red Sox. But this stealing other people's songs is the crazy. I come up with your own. There are a lot of them. There are at least like 50 or 60 songs in the world that you can choose from. You don't have to take maybe 70, 80, maybe triple digits even. I'm going to take the one I like best of all these early series is the Phillies. I'm going to take them. There's a little juice there. They have the best pitcher in the series in Zach Wheeler in short series. That's what I'll always do.
He beats it. You're right. I think if this is 3 out of 5, I go with Cardinals. But because it's 2 out of 3, Wheeler's been dominant against the Cardinals, too. So that's exactly my reasoning there for that one. Real quick on Judge. Whatever. He's going to win MVP. He hit the 62. I lost money on that. I know I have a lot of Yankee fan friends who get on me for belittling this achievement. I mean, he's what, one of 6 players now who have done this? And I love baseball, and I get it. Baseball needs stories like this to survive. But let's call it what it is. 5 other players have done this, or 5 other seasons this has happened. And the Roger Maris Jr. thing, for him to come out and we're to believe that he is rooting. Can you imagine, Sheck? I've talked about this on other podcasts, but if you were a Connect Four champion, right? And you're known throughout the world as a Connect Four champion, and you pass, and little Grady boy goes to Connect Four championship again, in which your record is going to be broken. Are you telling me that guy, your kid, is going to root for a complete stranger over the man who raised him? That makes no sense to me. This whole thing was a facade from the start, and I'm glad we're done with the Judge stuff.
The way it is, I hadn't thought about that. You're right. But that Yankees family is important, too, and I hate the Yankees as much as anybody does this side of Boston sports fans. It's cool. I mean, listen, I celebrate those things with my teams that – guess what? That's right. You know why the Penguins are great? Because they have 2 of the 5 greatest players in the history of the game and 2 of the top 25 forwards in NHL history. I celebrate that. Same thing. If you're a Yankees fan, that's pretty cool. The 3 all-time leaders in single season home runs is on your team. All there are 15 other teams in the league, and your team has the 3 top. That's neat.
I mean, I guess so, but it's only for half of the league. I don't understand the complete it's the same concept as like LeBron talking like, yo, I dominated the Eastern Conference for the last 10 years, or the Bill Belichick and Tom Brady saying I dominated the AFC East. That's like, I don't understand why everybody is not like, I get baseball is different. You didn't have interleague play for all this time, and so it's not necessarily the same level of crossover that there is in other sports, but like, who cares who has the most touchdown passes in the NFC? Like, that's not a record that anybody cares about being broken, or who has the most 3-pointers made in the Western Conference.
Nah! That's stinking thinking. That maybe it's Bud Selig's fault for doing interleague play that has diminished the value of leagues. But that's what made baseball cool versus every other sport was that it. I keep seeing that one like, oh, he's a Marvin Harrison AFC receptions leader. Like, that's not the same measure. Well, American League and National League are two distinct things.
Like somebody
two
else
distinct things.
Somebody else hit like 11 more.
It should have been done at 121 years. He wasn't getting a 73. I knew it. I told everybody he wasn't getting a 73. Barry Bonds holds that record. All right.
Another
creep.
All
I need to say. Now, real quick with the ball, it seems like this guy's a rich guy with a wife who was on The Bachelor, so maybe not the kind of guy you're rooting for, but he deserves what he can get here. Get what you can, right? It's your property if you catch the ball. Why are we split on this? I don't care about his personality, but if he can get $3 million for that ball, let him get it and do what he wants. He can give it to charity or keep it himself. I want a credit. I wanted to get the guy who flew right beside him. Good thinking, good risk, I think. You probably could tear your ACL flying down 10 feet, but in the 10% chance that the ball is dropped into that galley, 10% chance for $2-3 million, I think it was worth it.
No, it stinks, and it's why... Yeah, of course you do that. Right, what happened? Of course. It's worth it to do that. Yeah. So it's the same thing as the same people who get in touch to say, well, listen, same people who say, you should be flattered. John Hamm kicked you out of the league. This is the same dynamic of like, maybe Albert Pujols will be my friend if I give him the ball back. Like, who cares? All this Hollywood phony chasing. Like, oh, maybe he'll retweet you. Maybe Aaron Judge will hit the retweet if you give him the ball back. Hey, go make $1 million.
Roger Maris Jr. It's all phony. Martin, you get that ball. You keep it. Right? You get that authenticated.
I get that ball authenticated, and I sell it. Like, I'm not holding on to that thing. Sure. I don't want that thing in my possession. Matter of fact, I might get that thing, go straight to the bank, and put it in a safe deposit box until I can get it authenticated, because no one is taking my meal ticket away. Because if I get that ball, I'm never working again.
I had, there were whispers of if it was going to happen in Yankee Stadium. They kind of bully you there. The security guards and the cops are like, hey, you know, you whatever, you don't want to give it up. That's a long walk to your car on your own.
You can take me with you. Take me with you. But the one thing I'm going to have in these hands that they're cuffed, I'm going to have this baseball with me.
This is the ball.
Call my mama. Bail me out.
There you go. All right, listen, we didn't get to college. I do look forward to every week. Sheck. Crapping on Alabama. It doesn't ever seem to work, but I can tell you right now, Alabama's going to, even though they're a 24-point favorite, they're going to be down 7-3 to Texas A&M, and Sheck is going to tweet about, look, I wonder if they'll still make the playoffs after losing. You did this against Texas. You did this last week.
I didn't say they were going to lose. I said it doesn't make a difference if they win or lose. And the other point that I made was accurate. It was
and
like,
they win.
Oh, my God, Bryce Young's hurt. What's the Tide going to do now? They have to throw their poor backup in. Yeah, he's way better than anybody on the other team. This is what Alabama and Ohio State and Georgia have going for them. Ongoing. They have their fifth level player is better than your number one, your first string guy.
I don't know. I love it because as soon as you do that, it seems like Alabama turns it on. I really think you're inspiring this team. Spaghetti, does your team have a chance? 3.5 point favorite against BYU?
Well, I mean, I assume they have a chance if they are the favorite. They played
that's arrogance that I don't care for. Yeah.
Drew Pine's playing a lot better. He seems to have a rhythm with Tommy Rees now. I mean, their defense early on in the season, especially in that Ohio State game, showed they could hang. So I think BYU is a good team. There's a lot of pressure in this game, obviously being in Vegas, but I don't have a feel for it yet. I'm still reading everything. Like every beat reporter that has a new nugget coming out, I'm still reading. Right now, I would probably say BYU is the safe, getting the points is the safe pick, but I think it should be a solid game though.
All right, are you going, Eddie? I'm getting a lot of crap. No, I'm not going.
I'm not going.
Unbelievable.
I decided against a long week in Vegas. Yeah.
Oh yeah, you're right. BYU Notre Dame. All right, that's going to do it. We've been on too long. A lot of yelling. A lot of I don't think we agreed on anything today.
We agreed on the Carolina Panthers. What better to agree upon in the whole world than the Carolina Panthers are going to win on a Sunday? Martin.
I went and looked it up. And I don't know. I think I said 20. I know that in the last season, 2021, the Panthers did not win a game in which the opponent scored over 17 points, and they haven't done it yet this season either. So if
the funny thing is that NFC South, according to the three of us, is like Martin says Carolina is the worst team. He might be right, but now he's picking against Tampa, and now Atlanta. Is Atlanta really going to be on top? That's why the NFL is so great, and baseball sucks after Sunday for me. Anyway, that's going to do it. There you go. Lemon Pepper Parlay, Martin, you and Will Blackman. Good discussion. You got your big picks of the week. Sheck, you and Kevin Hench on -3. Fun times indeed. Mr. Lister, go back and listen to that. Got AO against the odds. AO, I say over and over. Megan Fun of Sports, covered in glory. Lots of it. And listen to Eddie Spaghetti and Jen Piacenti for your waiver wire pickups. That's the way to do it. That's another episode.
Games. My bad. I'm sorry.
Is that what it is? All right. Martin's going to figure this out and get back to us. A reminder to everyone out there, you may feel like underdogs, but please remember, you're all my favorites.